We're starting a new series tonight called Road Trip. I say road trip. How many like going on a road trip? And one, it was a great time. One time, the Holy Spirit really ministered to me. I was there was a conference up in San Francisco I wanted to go to, and but by the time you've paid for transportation, by the time we paid for hotel, by the time we paid for the conference, and by the time because the days were like Thursday and Friday, so you'd have to take some time off, it was relatively expensive. And I thought, you know what, I wanted a bunch of people to go with me. But I thought, well, Tamara and I'll just go. And the Holy Spirit just really chastised me, and he said, hey, how come you don't think anybody else will go? And I said, well, it's too expensive. And he said, you're willing to pay that much? And he shared with me this. He said, don't put caps on people. How many of the Holy Spirit will just tell you straight up what's going on? He said, don't put caps on people. Don't you decide how spiritually or how unspiritual they're going to be. And so that Wednesday, I made a correction, and I said, hey, Tamara and I are going to Sacramento. It's going to cost you about 4 days. You probably have to take 2 days off work, and because I think we left on a Wednesday and we didn't get back on a Saturday, so you know what, you probably have to take 3 or 4 days off work. It's going to cost, by the time we get done, it's going to cost about $500, maybe $600, but I'm going, and anybody who wants to go with me, and Tamara's going, anybody who wants to go with me can go with me. You know, and I said, just, you know what, you can even say, man, I don't know where that money's going to come. I said, just $50 will, you know what, all you need tonight is $50. Just $50 and boom, you're in. And then by the time, just trust God and let's see what happens. Who wants to go with me? You know, that night, 5 people signed up. And by the time we went on the trip, Tamara and I left. We had a van full of women and a van full of men. And I'm not talking about a 7-passenger van. I'm talking about a 15, both of them, 14 and 15 passenger vans. You know what? And we went up. Oh, I'm telling you what, we had a time. It was awesome. We laughed. And it was a blast. It was so good. How many like a good road trip? Well, I want to talk to you about a road trip tonight, and I want to talk about stay on course. How many know if you're on a road trip, you need to stay on course? And it's relatively easy nowadays because, you know, while we have this GPS. One time, Tamara and I were at a conference in Dallas, Texas, and we had our GPS, but our GPS was like on drugs or something. I kid you not. It was like it was confused, and it was, you know what? And the problem was we were relying, thinking, because, you know, you didn't think, oh, we didn't know where we were going. So, I mean, if you had some GPS that was messed up, at least you'd be here. At some point, you'd figure out this thing's messed up. But we were in doubt. We didn't even know it was messed up. So very, very frustrating. But how many know it's important to stay on course? And Paul says this, he warns against people who are preaching what he calls doctrines of demons. You know what? We can get off course. And it's easy to get off course. How many know it's easy to get off course? I want to talk to you about staying on course, and I want to give you just one specific, for instance, in the body of Christ. I believe that the church very slowly. And understand this. Understand that Satan works in small increments. So why? Because he's subtle. Everybody say Satan's subtle. So, you know what? How many know if you have a course and you just take a little step this way, just a little variation this way, watch this, it won't seem, everybody say seem. It won't seem like you're off course. At first. Are you catching this? But see, if this is my course, if my course is to go towards that speaker and I'm supposed to follow this curvature right here over that speaker, how many know way back here, I might just veer off a little bit in this direction and I take one step and how many know it seems like I'm not off course. Watch this. And then I take another step here, and it seems like I'm not off course. And then I take another step here, and it what? Seems like I'm not off course. And Satan goes, no, you can still see that speaker. You're still okay. But how many know in the course of time, I'm not even going to be close to that speaker? Do you catch that? See, that's why he moves in these small, small increments. Can I go a little deeper? So, you know what? You know what? So this guy, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. This guy asked you out. Or this girl asked you out. And God and Satan has already told you, no, it's not your season. How many know Proverbs says, Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. Amen? You know what? But you know what? No. She's okay. You know, I see it at church, you know what, at least once a month. Amen? Okay. Do I need to pause? Let me pause. Let me pause for you singles. Amen? Do I have some singles in the house? All right. Let me, over here. Okay. Do I have some singles in the house? All right. Listen to me very carefully. Okay. Let me give you some direction as a good pastor. Look at your neighbor and say, we've got a great pastor. Look at your another and say, I love my pastor. Okay, now listen. If they're not serving, if they're not a Christian. Yeah, but they go to cross on. If they're not a Christian, if they don't confess Jesus as their Lord, you mean? Don't even say yes to the first date. Listen to me. If they're not serving God. If they're not serving God, you wait until they start serving God before you're going to give them your respect and taking you out to a date. Amen? Because let me tell you what. Am I the only one in the room has noticed that there's guys who are Christian sometimes? You know, ooh la la, lady, I'm a Christian. Ah la la, ooh la la. Hello, somebody. You know how to separate the real from the phony? You know how to separate the real from the phony? The real are serving. They're serving. Everybody say they're serving. They are followers of Christ. Christ came not to serve, but to be served. Yeah, but no, Christ came to serve, not to be served. The Bible says that we are to be followers of Christ, imitators of God, the Bible says. Yeah, but Pastor, they're just not that spiritual yet. Then, you know, give them the Heisman. Amen, somebody. Right? Give them the Heisman, man. Do it. Why? Because listen, you can't afford to miss it on this one. You can't afford to miss it on this one. Love, you know what? The Bible says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. So you know what? You just watch afar. And you see. You know what? At this church, we are calling everyone to sit a service and serve a service. Everyone's called to do that. Everyone's called. Why? Because everybody should be serving. Why? Because where do you come up with that, Pastor? Ephesians, you were born to do good works. That's what you were created for. Because I love you and I recognize if you're not sowing, you know what? If you're not serving, you're eventually going to leave this church. At some point in time, why? Because at some point in time, you just get all this head knowledge. You're collecting all this knowledge, but there's no application. You're a sponge, and you're receiving this all. But you are a sponge, and a sponge is designed to receive and then to wring out. So if there's no ringing out, there will be a day, and you'll come into this church, and you'll say, "Man, I don't know what's up, man. Pastor just he ain't bringing it no more, man. I ain't receiving from him no more." And listen, I know you're not. I prophesied that this day would happen, but it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with you not serving. Everyone needs to serve. So watch that person from afar and see if they become qualified. Listen to me, singles. See if they become qualified to be able to date you. See, listen, young man, listen, young ladies, you guys are a prize. You got to get a little attitude. Not everybody can date you. Amen. See, not everybody can date you. And so what are they a Christian? Boom. You know what? Are they serving God? Amen. And my last but not least, okay, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Okay, you know, you guys, some of you know this one. Do they have a job? That. Come on, yeah, it's off the wall. That's not off the wall. It's so critical that you know what, somebody that you're dating, you know what, has a work ethic. And I'm protecting the sheep. You want to know what I'm doing? I'm protecting the sheep. That you are so welcome. I'm protecting the sheep. Because there's so many, you know what, men and women. But there's so many women, and you know what, and they'll start dating someone, and you know what, they're all spiritual. Listen, to be spiritual is to work. Listen to me very carefully. You were created to produce. You weren't created to just sit there and do nothing, let other people produce. No, you're special. You have callings on your life. Be a producer. Do something. Produce something. You know what? That's important. That's a spiritual concept. And young people, you know what? Singles have to understand this because they get in these unhealthy relationships. You know what? And they don't know. You know, they're so busy. They learned this bad theology when they were young. You know what I mean? They're listening to the radio. How many know words are powerful? You know what? You know this song. You know what? How long does it take you to fall in love? How long? It only takes a minute, girl, to fall in love. See, that's what you learned. I'm telling you what. You need to pay attention. You need to stay on course. Somebody say, I need to stay on course. And we can get off. That's just one area. You get off course. And all of a sudden, but understand what I'm saying is you're off course. You don't. You're way back here thinking, no, I just went on one date. You know, he even opened the door for me. You know, I know he opened the door for you. You know, and he even bought the ticket to the show. Which the last guy wouldn't even, I had to buy my own ticket to the show. I know, but where did he get that money? Did he get the money from his mama? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. Can we get real, somebody? Can we get real, somebody? And you're thinking it. You're thinking you're on course. You're off course. You're off course. How many know it's simple way back here to make an adjustment and go, oh, no more dates for you, Bucky. Can we go a little deeper? But then all of a sudden, you know what? 4 months later, and he's making the move on you. Right? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And you cross over a line that you shouldn't cross over. Just everybody look at me. Give me your best poker face right now. And you cross over a line that you shouldn't cross over. She said, but Pastor, if I'm waiting for a man who's going to honor me and respect me, first of all, ladies, and listen, I'm talking to ladies, but I'm talking to gentlemen too. Ladies, if that man won't respect you, if he won't honor you before you're married, why do you think he's going to honor you after you're married? Well, but Pastor, but if I'm waiting for that kind of morality in this world, then I'm going to be waiting. I'm never going to get married. Okay, well, you know what? You're going to confess whatever you're going to confess. But if I were you, I would recognize there's power in your tongue. Remember when that one prophet said, there ain't no righteous, nobody righteous but me. There's nobody righteous but me. And God said, are you kidding me? I got all kinds of people that are righteous. You're walking around thinking you're the only one righteous. How many know God can find you a righteous man? Amen. But can I tell you what? You better respect your body first. Because you respect, you know what? I'm telling you, slap him down. Amen. Amen, somebody. What am I talking about? I'm talking about getting off course. I'm talking about getting off course. How many know we got to stay on course? I've seen this. Listen. This has happened so many times in the body of Christ, in the church. No, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. No. Let me tell you what. If he loves the NFL now more than he loves you, if he loves the NFL now before he more than he loves God, no, he loves God, he just don't like to go to church. Oh, my goodness. Listen, if you will kung fu grip him, if you just want a kung fu grip, no, you can just... continue to walk in your deception, but I guarantee you, after you get married, the blinders are going to come off, and you're going to see who you really married. Can somebody say amen to me? And let me tell you this, and when you're raising a 6-year-old boy, hey, did somebody come to hear the truth tonight? And you're raising a 6-year-old boy, and you know what? And that's now that guy that you were dating is the father of that son. You can go to church all you want, but let me tell you what that boy is going to do. And I'm not saying there's not exceptions to this, but by the vast numbers, he is going to do what the father does. And at 6, you can tell that 6-year-old, get in the car, Bucky, now. You try doing that when he's 8 and see how that works out for you. You try doing that when he's 12 and you see how that works out for you. You try doing that when he's 14 and see how that works out for you. No. You need to be evenly yoked. I love Tamara because spiritually, half the time I look at Tamara and she's not behind me, she's in front of me. Somebody say amen to that. Half the time she's not, I'm trying to, whoa, hang on, baby. Wait up. Daddy's coming. Amen. See, that's who you want. That's the kind of spouse you need to be looking for. And you need not to settle for anything less. You need to stay on track. The Bible says, don't be unevenly yoked. And the Bible says, you be patient. You don't have to, listen, don't be anxious for anything. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you let your requests be known to God. Tell God, let him figure out who your spouse is going to be. Let him bring you that prince. Let him bring you that princess. Let him bring you that person. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, Pastor, but I'm married now. What's the application? You let the Holy Spirit tell you what the application is. Because I guarantee you, there's applications where you have an opportunity and you're getting off course. And let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will say, don't get off course. The Holy Spirit will quicken you and way back here and say, you shouldn't do that. Don't go there. No, don't go there. No, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I'm just going there with some friends. I'm just going after work. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm just going to, and the Holy Spirit is saying, no. No, bad company corrupts good morals. Oh, no, but see, how many know we con ourselves? No, but these people aren't bad. All right. You can do whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? You can go with them. You know what? And they're all drinking. You can go with them if you want. But when the Holy Spirit tells you, you know what, understand. I say all that to say this. Understand how Satan works. He works in very small increments. You know what? Very subtle. You know what? And you go to bed with your spouse, you know what? And you're going to hold a grudge. And they deserve it, and you're going to give them, you know what? You know what? You're going to drive with them for an hour. You know what? And you... What are you doing? I'm looking out the window. Oh, brother. No, you're in rebellion, amen? So you're just walking in rebellion. That's what you're doing. I'm going to show them, you know what I mean? Oh, please. You're off course. And you continue to do that, and incrementally it'll get worse and worse and worse and worse, and then he'll shoot a thought at you and say, you know what your problem is? You married the wrong one. And listen, and you'll be so, watch this, you'll be so off course. Are y'all tracking with me? You'll be so off course that you won't even understand. You won't even be able to hear God anymore. You're so off course. And what have you done? You've let all your friends convince you, you know what I mean? And then you'll have someone, you know, I'll tell you what, I won't put up with that. And now, watch this. And now you're off course and you think you're on course. How many know it's bad to be lost? It's worse to be lost and not know you're lost. I don't know what the application is to singles. I just know I need to preach led by the Holy Spirit. I just know there's I mean, I don't know what the application is to married people. I just know that the Holy Spirit is saying something to singles. You know what? That you better pay attention. Because Satan won't tell you you're off course. And it will be just very subtly, incrementally, just a little bit at a time. All right, praise God. How many still glad they came today?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's talk about this off course. Talk about it as far as the church. Let me give you an example. Most people in the church, and this has happened very subtly over a long period of time, most people in the church, you know why they think they're at a church? Listen to me. This is so good. They think they're at church to get their needs met. Can I tell you what? That is not the design of the church. But most people come to church to receive. Pastor, I want the worship to be good. I want to like the songs. I want to make sure Isaac doesn't play the wrong chords. I want to make sure Brian, you know what, is his bass guitar is in tune. You know what I mean? I want to make sure the sound guys don't do any, you know what, none of the, you know, everything, it's let everything be about, I want good worship. That's what church I want to go. And listen, and thank God we have good worship here, right? But can I tell you what? If you're here for the worship, you don't understand. Listen, they are not the performers. We are the worshipers. You have come here not to hear a good worship band. You are here and they are to lead you into worship. You are to worship God, even if they're out of tune, amen? Even if they're not singing the song that you, how many know there ain't, we're not singing, you know what, you know, Yankee Doodle Dandy, amen? Right? Right? How many know all the songs we sing are worship songs to Jesus, right? But we've gotten off course. The church has become a place of catering. You know what? Are you comfortable? Is the temperature too hot? Is it too cold? Is the seat okay? You know what? Is it too loud? Is the music too loud? Is it too soft? You know what I mean? Did you like the sermon? Hello? What? Of course. That's not what you come to church for. You come to church. Church was designed as a place for you to bring your giftings and put like the wise men to bring your gifts and to lay them at Jesus' feet. That is a great picture of what the church is supposed to be, that you're coming with something to give. Amen. That's a different, how many know that's a different thought than what we have? We come and think, you know what, is my kids taken care of? You know what, it's all about us. And I would say, off course. What is the church designed to do? It is a spiritual community on a mission to serve others. And in the process, everybody say in the process, we will be healed. That's a whole different. Are you saying that you can't come to church and hear the powerful word of God and be changed? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we don't want to serve you, because here's the truth. Anybody who knows Tamara and myself and the leadership of the church, we are here to serve. But can I tell you what? That's what you ought to be here for too. And that is a different course than what we've been taught. Are you catching this? Is this making sense? So who's our example to stay on course? Jesus. How did, remember when Peter was walking on the water? How did he get off course? He took his eyes off Jesus, amen? That's how we're going to get off course. Because if we keep on looking at Jesus, we'll understand, oh my goodness, like what I told you, he didn't come to be served, he came to serve. That's our example. So let's keep our eye on Jesus, that's how we'll stay on course. So let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Let's talk about three principles that Jesus ran his life by. Three principles that Jesus ran his life by. Number one, he knew the source of his strength. He knew the source of his strength. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. Look at this. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the crowd sought him, and he came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. What's he doing? He's spending time with his heavenly Father. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Okay. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. John chapter 6, verse 15. John chapter 6, verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. Matthew 14, verse 23. Matthew 14, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. And then Mark chapter 1, verses 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And when he had sent the multitudes away, while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. You see this? He understood. Listen, how are you going to stay on course? Here's what you're going to understand. Here's how you're going to stay on course. Act like Jesus. You need to get alone. Everybody say get alone. And you need to spend some time with God. And listen, and I don't care if you've been saved for 3 weeks. I don't care if you've been saved for 4 months. I don't care if you've been saved for 4 years or 44 years. It doesn't change. There's something that happens when you get alone and you spend time with God. Okay, here's what's going to happen. And can I just teach this to somebody? Everybody be giving me your best poker face right now. Just give me your best poker face. I would just assume every single one of you spend a significant time alone in prayer every day. I would just assume that, okay? All right? But let me just talk to the people on the Facebook Live, okay? Most people who go to church, many people who go to church spend no or little time alone with God in prayer. And here's why. They think they're too busy. They just think they're too busy. And I know this firsthand, because for years I was too busy. And then finally the Holy Spirit got it over to me, and I thought, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna give you some tips, okay? Okay. Not that you need tips, okay? Not that you need tips, but I'm going to just give you some tips anyway. So here's what I did. I set the alarm early, and I got up, and I went from the bedroom to the living room, okay? And I went from the bed to the couch, okay? How many know you can sleep good on the couch? And so I'd go, I'd go to the couch, and I'd start sleeping, and so I did that. You know what I mean? That was my morning. I'd get up in the morning, and I would, watch this, and I would pray. Okay, where are you going? I'm going to the couch. What are you going to the couch to do? I'm going to the couch to pray, sleep. I mean pray. Right? Okay. And then the Holy Spirit said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go outside. Why? Because how many outside is different than the couch? So I went outside, and it was in the wintertime, and it was cold. I had a jacket, but it was still cold. And I couldn't, there was no place for me to sit. So I would just stand up, and I would just pray. I would walk up and down my driveway. I've got a big driveway. I just walk up and down my driveway, and I pray. And then when my time was over, then I'd go inside. And here's what happened. In that time, and I don't know how long it took. I don't know if it took a month or 2 months or 2 weeks. But at some point in time, watch this, I fell in love with Jesus. Amen. At some point in time, you didn't love Jesus before? It was just different. I'm not saying that I didn't love him. I'm just saying in that time, I fell in love with Jesus. In that time, I recognized, wow. And here's what happened. Listen, if you hadn't eaten for, if you hadn't eaten for like a day and a half, how many know if I had a beautiful filet mignon with however you like your baked potato, cheese bread, you know what I mean, a nice iced tea, you know what I mean? You know, how many know, like, you wouldn't look at that and go, eh, you know what I mean? How many know if you hadn't eaten for a day and a half, you'd be like, yes. Okay, here's what I'm saying. That's what it became like to get up in the morning. See, I'm just saying this, and again, I'm assuming that all of you know this already, but this is to the Facebook people, okay. But here's what I'm saying. If it hasn't happened for you yet, trust your pastor. You think you don't have time enough for this. What I'm telling you is you are passing up the filet mignon. And listen, and I can't talk you into this. All I can tell you is I'm telling you the truth. The best time in my life is alone in the morning with God. The best time of my life. Hello. And I'm just telling you, and it might take you longer than it took me. It might take you shorter than it took me. But I don't go outside anymore. Amen. Here's why. Because I don't have to go outside anymore. I can wake up very, very early in the morning and pray for an hour and not go to sleep. Okay. Can I teach? Just, you want to learn something else? Thank you. And here's what happened to me too. In that time, I would pray. I would talk. And you know what? And I'm just telling you, I know maybe you're here for the first time. I speak in tongues, okay? And let me tell you why I speak in tongues. Because it's biblical. Because the Bible says when you pray in tongue, you pray perfectly to God. I'm not saying that praying in English or Spanish or whatever, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying it's more effective to pray in tongues. And before you get on, like, well, you don't have to pray in tongues. Why don't we just talk about Jesus? Because Jesus is the main thing. Listen to me. Jesus prophetically said, right before he left, he said, those who believe will speak with other tongues. See, Jesus prophesied this. Paul said this, don't forbid anybody not to pray in tongues. Paul said that tongues, he prayed in tongues more than everybody in the whole Corinthian church. Yeah, but I heard this about tongues. I heard that about tongues. Yeah, listen, where did you hear that about tongues from? See, I would say this prophetically, Paul knew more than that pastor that you heard on the radio does. No. And prophetically, you know what prophetically means? He saw down the future of a people that would be resistant to tongues. And he tells those people, hey, slaps them around a little bit, says, hey, you don't forbid anybody to pray in tongues. Don't forbid anybody to do that. Because let me tell you what, tongues are a gift. Imagine this. Imagine anybody in the body of Christ being against a gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you want to scratch your head on something? Scratch your head on that one. Getting back to my experience. So, you know what? Praying in tongues most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time in the morning, I'm praying in tongues. But then what happened is I started to be quiet. Now before, as soon as, the reason why I was so like, kind of like a machine gun, you know what? Yada, 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 was because as soon as I stopped yada-ing, I would fall asleep. But then, how many know you start to grow spiritually? And I started to fall in love with Jesus. And what I started to notice in my spiritual development is I would be quiet and not say anything. And for a while, I was like, what's with that? Why am I not doing this anymore? And the Holy Spirit shared with me what was going on. He said, here's what's going on. Before, we were having a conversation, but you were the only one who would talk. So the whole hour, have you ever been with anybody and they talk for the whole hour? And then right before the lunch was over, they said, oh, man, it's been great talking to you. See you later. Bye. How many know that's not a lot of fun? How many know that's not really a good relationship? Okay. Here's what was happening. I was maturing in the things of God. And what was happening was that I was learning to be quiet and listen to what God would say back to me. So remember I talked about the filet mignon? Let me tell you why it's so crazy for you to say, I don't have time. Because you are wasting so much time in making so many errors in your life. You would save so much time, so much effort. Your life would get so much better if you'd allow God some time to direct your path. And you say you don't have time, but you're wasting an hour here, you're wasting 2 hours here, you're wasting 4 hours here, you're bumping into this, bumping into that, bumping into this, and you're like, my life's so frustrating, I don't have any time for God. My life's so frustrating, I don't have any time for God. No, you have the same amount of time I got. That's crazy. That's just a con. You've just conned yourself out of one of the biggest, out of the most... Listen, your life will directly, your blessings in your life are going to be directly related to how much time you have to spend with God. Period. Here, let me prove it to you. How many of you had a life, and it, I'm not saying it was awful, but I'm just saying, how many's life improved when you started coming to this church and systematically Sunday and Wednesday listening to the Word of God? How many would raise your hand and say, man, my life started getting way better when I started doing that? See, bingo, you proved it to me. And I'm saying, let that be systemic in your life, that you'd start, trust your pastor. And listen, and I was right where you were. I was too busy, you know what, which is crazy ridiculous, because the biggest blessing that you pass up every day is you waking up early and spending some extra time with God. I'm just telling you, it's just such a blow it. And Jesus recognized, I can't live a lie. I can't do the things that I need to do without spending time with God. I can't be on purpose. Listen, I'm just asking, how do you know what to do? You know, it's like people who don't do this, it's like they're driving old school, you know what I mean? They're driving with, remember that, what was that thing? It was a big, thick book with a bunch of maps. You know, you're like looking in the Thomas Guide. It's like, what are you doing? There's this cool thing now. You know what? It's called Siri, and she'll tell you where to go. There's this real cool person. You know what? Well, there's this real cool God. He's up in heaven. He sees the beginning from the end. He can tell you, and he will tell you. How many hear what I'm saying? Quickly, number one, he understood that where he got his strength. Number two, Jesus understood his purpose. Quickly, John 10:10. What does John 10:10 say? The thief doesn't come to steal and destroy. Look what Jesus said. I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. He understood why he came. He came to preach. You'll see that later on. And it gave people hope and joy and peace and abundance. How many have ever been in the service? I'll ask you again. And something that I said just sparks you up thinking, wow, that's awesome. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. That's that abundance. That's what Jesus was. He was a preacher. I'll show that to you in a minute. But he came to speak and give people, you know, life. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 20, 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, we quoted that, but to serve. And to give his life for a ransom of many. Do you understand? Jesus knew what he was called to do. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. But he said to them, let us go into the next town that I might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come. For what purpose? I'm a preacher. I'm a come to preach. So let's go into the town that I can do what I was called to do. John chapter 12, verse 49. Wow, this is so powerful. Watch this. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sends me gave me a command which I should say and which I should speak. Let's stop there. I have not spoken on my own authority. Jesus says, I don't even talk unless God tells me to say something. Hello, you're learning something. See how submitted he is to God? See how on purpose he is to God? Where do you think he learned all that? When he got alone. Where do you think you're going to get the direction from God? When you get alone with God. Amen? Luke chapter 4, verse 42. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. There's this reality, and it is my last point, and it's this. Jesus knew where to draw the line. Okay, we'll stop here, but let me teach you this concept. You've got to understand where to draw the line. And you're going to have people pulling at you and telling you who you are and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You know what I mean? Can I get real with somebody? Yeah. This is one area that it really happens all the time in the body of Christ. And it happens with people who are working jobs. And you feel this and you understand, because a lot of times there's eight people behind you looking to take your position. And they know that. And so they put demands on you. And you think that I couldn't tell you how many people come up to me and they tell me this. They say, no, Pastor. I'd like to serve. I'd like to do this. I'd like to come to church on Sunday and Wednesday. I'd like to become, you know what, to academy. I'd like to do all, but I can't. Watch this. Because I have to. You help me finish the sentence. Because I have to. No. I have to work. Help me. I have to. I hear that all the time. And I want to scratch my head and I want to say, who of you, first of all, I spent a whole 6 weeks talking about the favor of God. If you haven't listened to that, go to the website and pull it up and listen to it. See, what I would say is this. I would say this, and I learned this. This is so awesome. When I was a children's pastor, the youth pastor spoke this and taught this to his youth. Some of you didn't have a good youth pastor to teach you this, but let me teach you this. Start believing the favor of God. Stop allowing your job to tell you, you know what, how much they're going to pay you, how much you're valuable or how valueless you are, and to tell you what your schedule has to be. I love y'all. Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop putting those boundaries on God. You're a child of God. But this youth pastor, I love what he said. He said, listen, kids, listen, 17s and 18s and 14-year-olds and 17-year-olds, listen, find a job where you have Sunday and Wednesday off. And if they don't give you a Sunday and Wednesday off, find a better job. Yeah. See, do you see what I just did? It's just like a whole new concept. So, Pastor, whoa, I never thought of that. I thought instead that I just had to. You know why? Because they have taught you that you are down there. And you need to walk into that place. Whatever it is, you need to walk into the place. I remember when Megan got hired, and she got hired in Jack in the Box. And I remember driving home and her saying, Dad, I hope they hire me. And I thought, because I saw the value of Megan. She is such a good worker. So detailed and so fast and so caring about just, you know what, and a good attitude. You talk about a good attitude. She got a great attitude. And I just laughed. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Megan, I told her, I said, Megan, if they hire you, they are going to be so. I just started laughing. I was like, oh, they have no idea what they get if they hire you. You know what I mean? They just don't know. You know what I mean? Can I tell you, can I speak that over you? Stop walking in there like, ooh, I'm so lucky to have this job. I'm so lucky to have this job. Stop it. Stop it. You're a child of the living God. Start putting some boundaries and saying, you know what? Yeah, but Pastor, they'll fire me. Then get a better job. Amen. Get a better job. Get a better paying job. Get a better scheduled job. Stop just thinking you have to take the crown. You are a child of the Most High. You know what? Now listen. I'm not saying that you don't need to. I'm not saying that you don't need to be the best employee in the place. You know, listen. If you're the best employee in the place, they'll probably give you Sunday and Wednesday off and be happy to do it. But if they don't. You don't have to stay at that job. And stop thinking that $15 is the most you can make. Stop thinking $18 is the most you can make. Stop thinking that $23 is the most you can make. $23, how am I supposed to get it? Oh, that's a good job. Hey, there's people making $28 an hour. Amen? Start speaking that over your life. Amen? But stop telling God, you know what, that you can't. Because of your work. Stop saying that. Start to understand what you were created for. Start to understand your purpose. You're not here to plumb a bathroom. You're not here to run electrical. You're not here to be a secretary. What in the world are you thinking? You were created to be part of the most powerful group ever. You were created to change people's lives for eternity. That's what you were created for. And if you are, am I saying everybody's called to be full-time in the ministry? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you be a plumber. But you find a plumbing job where you can have Sunday and Wednesdays off. Because let me tell you what, your peace in this church is absolutely imperative. When you came here, this church got better. Linda, when you came here, when you and your kids and your husband came here, this church got way better. Lydia, when you came here, this church got way better. Way better. Aline, when you and Fred came in, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Who couldn't I say that about here? Which one of us could leave and we wouldn't be seriously a deficit? We think we can just show up when we want to show up and not show up when we want to show up. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Where did that come from? It came from what I started in. There's this thought that you just come and plop yourself down and you know, I hope you teach me good today. You better be motivated. You better be funny today. You know what? Isaac, you better be good today. Chanel, you better sing on tune. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. My friend, that is way lower. No, you come in. You come here with a gift. And you come and you lay it at Jesus' feet and say, no, no, no. I've come to serve today. Pastor, how can I serve this body? How can I serve this community? What part am I to bring to make this church more effective in building the kingdom of God? Oh, that's a different mentality, is it not? See, can we get on course? Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay. I've just got 5 more points before I'll let you go. Okay, just 5. No, I'll go over this. I'm just joking. See, some of you knew I was joking. Hey, how may I learn some things? Father, help us, help us, help us. Help us not to come to church. Help us to come to change. Help us to allow, if any of this, I don't care whether it is the relational stuff at the beginning, stuff about serving, any of this. Whatever, however you challenged us tonight, may we not leave here that we don't say yes to you, that we don't say, God, I heard you, and I want to change. I don't want to just listen to another sermon. I want to be changed. I want to stay on course. If that's you, I want with nobody looking around, this is really nobody anybody's business, but with nobody looking around, if you said, Pastor, that's me, I want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray with you for a minute. Hands up all over. Go ahead. If that's you, lift up your hands. Yes, all over. Thank you. Father, you see the hands up. You know every single person, what they're saying, what that hand means. Father, I pray that you would answer our prayers. Help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be moved by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.